Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." May God through His Spirit give us understanding this evening of some of these mighty truths. Turn with me then to John 17. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, that you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me." As we come to continue in this most holy of holies, this wonderful chapter, we looked, having had two previous brief introductory studies, last time at verses 1 to 5, and particularly we looked at the glory to be gained, the gift to be given, and we emphasised the gift to be given. It was not necessarily to go to heaven. It wasn't have eternal life. Jesus emphasised a gift to be given that we offer to a needy world is to know God. And then we just ask ourselves, if that is the case, do we have the genuine article? Because James points out time and time again that many sitting in church pews who may have a profession or say they are a Christian but may not yet truly know God. And I found, I read you last time, Tom Parson sums up those verses in this way. "Father, you know that in principle you have given me a supreme position over all people. A position I am to receive as a function of my obedience unto death. You know that this position of authority was assigned to me in order that I might give eternal life to all those you have given me. Now, Father, the time for these great events is here. My prayer, therefore, is that you fulfill your word. Glorify your Son, just as you promised you would, in order that by bringing glory to you, he might effect the salvation of those you have given him." And I've emphasised right from the beginning of this passage that as this has always been such a precious passage to me, and it's always warmed my heart in a very personal way as I traced my name right through this passage. That I'm not equipped to deal with this passage as Mark would in a deep, one where it's a geesical way. I just want to trace, as it were, in a devotional way, my name through this chapter. And maybe Mark won't feel too embarrassed about coming back to this chapter at some time and taking us through it in greater depth. So we come to verse 6. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. And as we mentioned last time, commentators invariably and helpfully divide up this chapter into sections, and they would say in this section, Jesus is praying for his disciples. Now, obviously, primarily, the focus of his prayers was that here. And therefore, the question I ask is, am I justified in claiming a personal interest in these words? And I would say, yes. Firstly, because the apostles were representatives of the Christian church. And therefore, as Christ prays for them, he prays for all the church. As he reveals the kingdom to them, he reveals it to all that the Father has given him. And that was one of the main blessings and functions of the apostles, wasn't it? That they received from Christ and later through the Spirit the full revelation for the church. In them, we might be blessed through that. Am I justified on the second count? Yes. Later in the prayer, Jesus makes it clear. He is praying for all that would believe in him. So although obviously primarily here, he says he focuses on those apostles and as they were standing around on this dark night, with the power of darkness pressing in now, facing Gethsemane and the cross. It must have been very comforting to hear these words and to hear their precious Saviour, the Lord Jesus, praying for them. And as Mark mentioned recently, you know, all the promises of the Scripture are ours in Christ. And the way I'm dealing with this chapter tonight is through three windows. And I'm doing that because in the Christian church, too easily, we tend to think we're precious to Christ. Well, we are. But I want to just bring home to our hearts tonight that we are precious to God the Father. We are precious to God the Son. And indeed, we are precious to God the Holy Spirit. So as we look at this verse from window A, I am precious to God the Father. Jesus says, and talking of us as well, they were yours. They were yours. Now that we can explain this in much depth tonight, you understand what he's saying. You know that through the covenant of redemption, the Father has set his love upon you and me as individuals in that covenant of redemption before time began. The Father set his love upon me. Why? Well, we have that helpful verse in Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 to 8, talking of Israel. And we can apply it, I'm sure, to ourselves. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people of the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. You were the least of all peoples. Why? But because the Lord loves you. So if anybody ever asks why you were chosen, the simple answer is because the Father loves you. We love you. We are precious to the Father. We get that again in various verses we could turn to. Ephesians 1, that glorious chapter, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We are precious to the Father. They be yours, says Jesus. They be yours. It is much broader than this, isn't it? Because the Father is the origin of all grace. We can't split up. It's very difficult to universe like this and under three headings like this. Because we dare not really split up the persons of the Trinity. But God himself, the God the Father, is the source of all grace. Whether through Christ or the Holy Spirit. And I found grace at the book I mentioned several times. Pastor gave it to me as a gift, it was the most precious book to me. Page 113, I'm just going to read a paragraph there, talking of this very fact. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Christ here traces all the Father's acts and purposes towards his people, whether in creating them, protecting them, bestowing his grace upon them now, or by and by crowning them with glory. He traces it all to the high source and divine foundation of all grace. Thine they were. This is the origin of all grace. The Father's own interest and property in his people. The Father's own unspeakable and everlasting love. Oh, what a blessed resting place of faith is here. Yes, God has. He ever had and ever will have an inheritance of glory in his people. He formed them for himself. The world, the flesh, and the devil have sought to rob God of his glory, marvelous inheritance in his people, and eclipse the majesty of his name. How wonderful to know that primarily we are precious to God the Father. They be yours. He gave them to me, says Christ. Window B. Maybe a little bit longer on him because it's more important. I am precious to God the Son. I am precious to God the Son. You gave them to me, says Christ. Talking of you, talking of me. So we ask one question, why given to Christ? Well, probably many answers to this. But primarily, in that covenant of redemption, we were given to Christ, for him to redeem me from iniquity. For him to restore to me the position I lost in Adam. To redeem from iniquity. To restore to me that position I lost in Adam. But more than that, something Adam couldn't have. To raise me to union and communion with the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, my Saviour. Why give him to Christ? For him to do that for me. Ask another question. What makes me most precious to Christ? Was it that I was his Father's property? And being given to him, with all his deep love for his Father, I am therefore very, very precious to Christ. Or, am I precious to Christ? Because I was a love gift to him. Or am I precious to Christ simply because I am his own beloved one? For surely, all three. All three are very, very important. Because they just enhance the fact that I and you, as individuals, are precious to Christ. Consider. All things were created for Christ. Let's think of this for a moment. The stars, the universe, the galaxies, the earth, the world, the heavens, the angels to be his attendants. But above all that, the Father gave him me. All of you. But one day I will sit with him on his throne. Now how precious is that? You gave them to me. Are we raised again? Human language sinks burdened under the expressions of his love, the love of Christ to his people. He calls them his jewels, his peculiar treasure, his flock, his temple, his bride, his all. The world may look coldly upon the people of God. The world may speak hardly of them. They may think lightly of them. But hear what Jesus says of them. Oh, it is sweet to retire from a cold world and listen. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Isn't that wonderful? To know Christ, and emphasize this, just leave this alone. To know Christ in ours is salvation. And we often talk of what a blessing it is to know Christ. Indeed, isn't it? Just think what greater security there is. Through times of trial and testing and bereavement and sadness, when the world seems to fall apart and we don't know where the next penny is coming from, it's lovely still to know Christ is mine. But how more wonderful to know I am Christ's. And he will take full and ultimate responsibility for my security and salvation and glorification. When we look through this verse, what I'm precious to God the Son, we see it in the words, I have manifested your name unto them. I have manifested your very self unto them. You gave them to me, and this is what I've done for them. Now, as we've noticed, where Christ says, I finished the work, that in this prayer, Christ, as it were, is actually almost praying this prayer beyond the finished work of Calvary. It's as though, in one sense, he had, in his mind, completed that work in the ears of his apostles. The work is finished. The work is accomplished. And he prays here. He's praying to that finished work. Because, obviously, the greatest manifestation of God's character, of his name, of the Father's love and grace and mercy was in Calvary. And so Christ will be up the whole span of his work and life on this earth, right to his final ascension, he's saying, I have manifested your name unto them. I've revealed to them your very self. They're so precious to him. I want you to imagine, for example, a student like Jonathan coming home from university. And he dearly loves his parents. But he's met this young lady. And he wants his parents to love her. And to value her. And to take her into their hearts and into their love. And so he tries to reveal to them all about her. What sweet eyes she has. What a sweet character she has. How thoughtful she is. Why? Because not only is she precious to him, but his parents are precious to him. That's only just a very small reflection of what Christ has in mind here. He loves his Father. He loves us. And he wants us to have something of the love that his Father that he's got. So he manifests to us his Father. But it's far more than that. It would make a great deal of difference to Mike and Rosemary whether they valued his fiancée or not. But for us, it's a matter of life and death. Whether we know God and fall in love with the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, God declared his name time and time again. And this is a big subject. The definite vision of Bible study. But now, Exodus 34, verse 5. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity upon the fathers, of the fathers, upon the children and the children's children, to the third and fourth generation. Time and time again, we have in the Old Testament God declaring his name to his people. And obviously, as you know, we mean by that the whole character of God. But in God the Son, we have God the Father revealed, as we read in chapter 14. God the Father revealed his character. You just trace the person of Christ from Bethlehem to the Mount of Transfiguration, to the Garden of Gethsemane, to the cross. See his works of kindness and grace and mercy. See his outrage at hypocrisy. And just within the life of Christ, we see God the Father. But above that, we have the teachings of Christ. These words came from the mouth of Christ, didn't they? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He was God the Son, revealing God the Father. And last Sunday morning, we heard, you heard Pastor preaching on salvation through substitution. And we see so much there of the mercy and grace of God. He's God the Father being revealed through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, this is eternal life, that you might know him. Well, that's what I'm saying, that huge subject. And through the window of being precious to God the Son, Jesus said of me, they have kept your word. I have kept his word. Really? Here God, the Saviour, is interceding for me to his Father. This is what he says. Are the disciples here, listening to him, for us today, marked by unwavering and clear understanding of all God's words and ways? Put your hand. No. We're just like them, aren't we? So poor in understanding. And yet before his Father, Christ presents us. Because we're so precious to him. He answers our advocate, as our mediator. He says, yes, these are the people who have kept your word. They have kept your word. I have manifested your name to the men whom you've given me out of the world. They were yours. You have given them to me. They have kept your word. And I was a little bit doubtful about going on to this one, but I'm sure it's true. I am precious to God, the Holy Spirit. Go back to the verse again. Jesus says, you gave them to me. What does that really mean? Well, first it means we were gifted to Jesus before time began. But when you came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and at that point, as it were, given to him, it was through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually brought to pass that gift to Christ. And the Holy Spirit was working in you, drawing you to God the Father through Jesus Christ. You are precious to God, the Spirit. Jesus says, I have manifested your very self to them. Okay? If that's all there was to it, why was it that the whole world around that time didn't believe in Jesus Christ? If here was Jesus manifesting God the Father to a needy world, with all his compassion and love. We find it amazing today, don't we? There's a rejection of the gospel. We can't understand it sometimes. Why people don't want Christ. But it was the same with Jesus himself. Although he was manifested in the love of God, the grace and mercy of God, thousands didn't receive or understand. Jesus says after he fed the multitude, "You only come to me because I fed you the bread. You don't understand who I am, why I'm here." When he went on to explain to them that they have to eat his flesh and drink his blood, they were offended. They were blind. The Jews then complained about him because he says, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?" We don't see anything special there. How is it then he says, "I came down from heaven"? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Contrast that with the disciples and with the faith you and I have through his grace. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." John 16, verse 14, "He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Yes, God manifested the Father, revealed the Father, but that revelation is applied to our hearts through the work of the Holy Spirit. That explains a lot sometimes. I've often found it amazing that young people can sit under the sound ministry for years. I think of me. And if you're converted, and then although obviously our ministry hasn't been totally wasted, there's very little of it really gone in. It's only when you're converted, when you have the Spirit, you begin to see things you've never seen before. Because we only understand anything of the kingdom through revelation, not through intellect. As long as you say, thank goodness for that. Don't worry. So, we're precious to the Spirit. I am precious to the Father, I am precious to God the Son, I am His, entrusted to Him, I am precious to the Holy Spirit. And just a brief look at that verse, those verses really, through those three windows. But what are the practical applications you could just take away from? Well, they're pretty obvious. First, relates to relationships, our relationships to one another. We need to remember each brother and sister who is truly born again has been given to Christ and is precious to him. I will see you after that. Each brother and sister has been given to Christ and is precious to him. We need to be very careful how we talk of one another, how we deal with one another, because Christ is listening. And whoever you might be talking about, or in your heart, getting annoyed with, Christ is seeing that. And that person you're getting annoyed with or upset about is precious to Christ. Secondly, what security is here? As we've already mentioned, what security is this to know that I am Christ? And Christ is the beloved Son of his Father. We have a great high priest who knows and feels what you are going through, and I'm going through, a loving Father who knows what you have been. We are precious to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, Jesus has saved uniquely Obviously, I have manifested your very self to those you have given me. But I believe there is a very strong point of application here. Jesus isn't in the world in the flesh today. How will he be manifest in the world today? Through you and me. Within our home is Christ being manifest in you. God the Father being manifest in you. All his lovely character. In the church is Christ. In your workplace is Christ and God the Father being manifest in your life. So that people don't need to read the Bible. They can read you. And the Holy Spirit takes and uses that to his glory. Jesus said, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. So the mighty God, we thank thee that our prayer answering God will come to you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know it is your purpose that those that were given to Christ shall come to you. And we pray this night, Almighty God, that you will save souls through the witness of your people here, through their workplace, within the work done here. Almighty God, your arm is not shortened and it cannot save. You're the same God of yesteryear as you are today. You're the same God of revival days as you are today. You are the God who is able to turn lives round, to break stony, rebellious and hardened hearts. Lord, we pray that you will do that. Bring to naught, Lord, their vain words and their own questions. Lord, deal with the need of seeking. Lord, may we have days of harvest in this church, Lord, we pray to your praise and glory we ask. Shall we say the grace together?
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all.